Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk and Facebook Live for Smile3E, our Shabbaty, our ministry. Tonight, I want you to join with me in prayer before we get into our lesson on tonight, which is from Matthew 21. Okay, Father God, we thank you on today, God. We thank you for a day that has been given to us to be able to come before you to repent of all sins, knowingly, willingly, and thus unknowingly, willingly and unwillingly. God, we're coming to you asking you to just cover us, our family, our loved ones, our household, our finances, our jobs. God, we're asking you to cover our health. God, we just ask you to be God and we will be your people. God, we know that you are God and no one's like you, nowhere, no how. God, give us ears to hear what your word is saying on tonight. Give us a heart to receive what your word is saying on tonight. Give us a mind to just change our mindset because what your word says. God, we know that we can hide your word in our heart that we may not sin against thee. But God, we're just asking you, give us peace, peace of mind. Give us peace, peace in our spirits. God, we just ask you for your forgiveness again. We can never ask for it more than more. God, we just say, in Jesus' name, we pray these things that you cover America. Keep us on our knees before you, O God, until we get in our spirit. For in God we trust. Amen. Okay. Well, let's start off. I'm going to start off with, I have my Bible right here where I got the King James Version, and I also have a printout of NIV. So I'm going to just be briefly looking over it because I want to look at the first 11 verses is talking about Jesus comes to Jerusalem as a king. Okay, it says, verse 1 says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her coat by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. Okay, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. Daughter to Zion, see your kings come to you gentle and riding on a donkey, and on her coat and foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did Jesus said and instructed them. They brought the donkey and the coat and placed their coats on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the tree and spread them on the road. The crowd then went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heavens. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowd answered, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth in Galilee. Okay, we're going to stop right there because we're going to apply that to our life. Could you imagine going someplace, you and your homies, the family, or whoever is with you, and they say, we're going to go over here. We're going to go hang out. Just like I did today. I hung out at the park. They went over to Mount Olive, and they was there with Jesus. So Jesus said to them, go to the city up ahead of you, a little town, and you're going to find a village with a donkey and a calf. He said, bring it to them. Anybody ask what you're doing with it, tell them I need it, and they're going to let it go. So you go over there knowing you're going to be scared because you ain't from that block, and you don't know them on that block. You're going to be scared to go over there and say, We need this. So when you do go over there and follow instructions, because this is what the word say, to follow the instructions, and you go do what it was told you to do, you ain't going to have no problems, no obstacles, none of that. But we're going to make sure we get this fear out of you so that you don't be scared. Because when they went and did what Jesus said, and they gave it to him, and they took him, it says that Jesus rode on the donkey and the colt. I'm trying to see that. Could you imagine riding on a donkey and a colt? Or should I say, in a car? Well, I guess that's a... You riding in the front or the back? Or a two-seater? I'm trying to picture that. But that's how powerful Jesus is. They put their cloaks on the donkey and the colt, and they placed the ones that was looking and hanging out, they placed their stuff on the road. So I guess they was honoring the donkeys. They didn't even let their feet get dirty no more. They was honoring them. But the others wouldn't cut down branches so they could walk on them. And as they walked on them and they was riding through, the people in the city, everybody, you know, like you see an accident, you got gapers delay, everybody looking, trying to see what's going on, who's coming, who is that? They hollered, who is that? No, it wasn't Beyonce and Jay-Z. Mm-mm. It was Jesus. He was coming in on a colt with her baby, a calf, the donkey. Well, the donkey was the mother, the colt was the baby. He was coming in on the donkey with her baby. In other words, I guess that was his trunk. They put their stuff on the baby to bring his stuff in. And as they was riding in, they said, who is that? They said, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Y'all know y'all like when y'all show up. You don't have a suit you just went and got. Oh, it's not a suit. You know, nowadays they say a fit. Don't have an outfit you just went and bought it. You try to make sure everybody see. You know, you want everybody to see you. And people saying, who is that? Oh, that's such and such. That's such and such. So when they asked, who was that? They said, oh, that's Jesus. You know. He's the prophet from Nazareth. Everybody wanted to know who he was. Because the people was calling his name, saying, Hosanna. That's Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna, the son of David. Hosanna, Hosanna is the highest. Could you imagine somebody calling your name, saying, oh, that's such and such, she a legend, she a legend. That's like, okay, for example, y'all know I always use myself, so I don't want you all to think it's pride or I'm being conceited, but the best story ever told about you is from somebody else. But since this ministry, I don't want to tell nobody else's story or use nobody else, because I don't want nobody else to say they didn't give me a right to use them and I was putting their business in the street, so I use myself. That's like tonight, I went on the bike ride. Now, I saw people that I haven't seen in a long time. I'm talking about years before COVID. I haven't seen them in a long, long time. So I got to hear people say to me, I remember you when I was little. One guy said, you are a legend to us. Because of you, I ride to this day. I always tell people, when I was a little boy, me and my sisters and friends would sit on the porch, and we would point and say, that's my bike, that's my bike, that's my bike. Because of you made us want to ride. And I was like, wow. I always tell people be watching you. You never know who's watching you. So you've got to make sure when people are watching you, when they call and say something about you, your name should not always be mixed up with mess. You don't want people to say you messy. You know, you want people to say something solid about you. Like they said, who is that? They said, that's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. Now, that gave them an idea of who was coming through. Somebody with power. Because Jesus' name had preceded him. All right? Now, let's go to the next couple. Let's see how many verses this is going to be. 12 through 17. It talks about Jesus at the temple. Jesus entered the temple court and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called the house of prayer. But you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, the children shouting in the temple court, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. In other words, they was displeased. They were PO'd. They was mad. They was upset. Because they was calling Jesus Hosanna. Oh, could you imagine that? 16 say, do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, the Lord hath called forth your praise? And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. So they call themselves questioning Jesus. You ever had somebody come to you and say, who gave you the right or who told you could do that? See, that right there, that's something I would love to tell that I know about, but I won't because it's not my testimony. But somebody will say, who told you could do this? Who told you could do that? You know, I have a lot of, I have family members, I have even people that I know, associates, they look at me and be like, who told you you could be on Facebook or you could be talking about the Lord? Who did it? First of all, you didn't have to tell me. You didn't have permission to tell me. You didn't have authorization to tell me. You did not give me authority because you have none. What I'm doing, God knew who I was, where I was, and what I did when he called me. So while you're trying to find out why I'm doing what I'm doing, get on your knees before God and ask him why. Don't ask me. So back to this. When Jesus was looking at them and they was talking to him, he said, yeah, he hear what they saying. In other words, why you mad? Why you hating? You haters? See, if Jesus would have talked like we would have talked, he would have just said, haters in the camp. He would have said, haters over here. Because if we know that it's a, but when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David. Because 14, that was 15. 14 say the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. So while he was healing them, they was over there. Who told him he could do this? Because they had no power. You know, even with the Hail Marys and the throwing of the smoke and the slinging of the oil, they had no power. You know, so you'll catch a hold of that a little later. They had no power, so they was wondering, who was this? Why was the people calling his name? Why was the people looking for them? But the people didn't look for the priests and the teachers. They was making them pay taxes. They was making them do that. Even if they didn't have anything, they was taking the little that they had. But Jesus wasn't taking anything from them. He was giving. How many of you all could say you was born with the spirit of giving? That you don't just give when other people are around and you don't want them to think you cheap, like y'all go out and eat and you one of them people that don't leave a tip and leave that $1 tip and you just sit down there and ask for $200 worth of service. You done went in the restaurant. You don't like nothing. Ain't nothing satisfying. Ain't nothing good. But then you get ready to leave, you leave a no tip because you done found the reason why you shouldn't give a tip. How many of you all know that a person that's born or a person that's brought up or a person that developed a spirit of giving, they always come out blessed. They always come out not wanting. They always come out with a cup running over with oil. But you always see them that somebody's always pointing, trying to find fault in them. But you can't mess up what God has blessed up. You can't throw up. You can't put down what God has put up. No matter how much you try to tear somebody down, every time you tear somebody down, God pulls them up even higher. So when you out here trying to put your mouth on someone and talk about them like these priests and teachers and stuff was doing, the chief priests, they didn't say the students. They didn't just say priests. They said, the word says, but when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw, they was teaching the word of God, but yet and still they didn't see the word of God. They couldn't believe the word of God. They was just taking the word of God to apply it to their needs because they couldn't see the gift. They had been talking about and hearing about the promise, the prophet was going to come, the Son of God, the gift. They had been teaching about it, reading about it, talking about it, but yet and still when it came, they were so busy caught up in there, you hear me, in there, I'm trying to get the right word, and their accomplishments, where they thought they had accomplishments, they thought they had arrived, that they didn't know that the gift was already walking among them. The gift had walked in because the word said earlier that the prophet, I'm going to go back to it. It says, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. That's what verse 4 says. So they had been talking about it. That's why, Ms. Margo, God promotes and elevates. They was too busy trying to break him down and who gave you the authority? Who are you to heal, to bring forth, to make somebody whole? So they could not see the word. They could not see that the word had became flesh. And the word not only had it begin to live among the people, but the word was with the people. The word had became just like the people. So that would be no excuse. Now, verses 18 through 21 talks about when Jesus cursed the fig tree. Now, we need to hear this part because we want to make sure we're not being a curse. We don't want to be a curse. It says, early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. Immediately, the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did the fig tree wither so quickly? They asked. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. And if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. Now, right there, that lets you know that when you're hungry, you going to let everybody know, I'm hungry. You want something to eat. And, you know, like, we're going to use this pandemic. Remember when the pandemic hit? A lot of people didn't get to the store. Their money didn't come through for them to go to the store, and they couldn't go nowhere and get nothing to eat. And then by the time they did get to the store to get something to eat or essential needs, everything was gone. People started acting crazy. Not only did they look for a fig tree, they looked for an apple tree, they looked for anything and everything they could to get something to eat. You know, when they were looking for toilet tissue, but they got to the stove, it was some paper towels. They was looking for Lysol, but they got to the stove, it was a lot of Glad, or whatever the air freshener. It was a lot of Fabuloso. When they went to get what they needed, they couldn't find it. So people became angry. People became ornery. People started holding on to their stuff like it was a goal. You know, a tissue was like, they talk about people when they're in jail, how valuable cigarettes are. Tissue had became very valuable. If you had some tissue, you could make some money. You could have sold it for, what would you say, Stan? A dollar for three pieces? Yeah. You could roll a tissue, and I ain't even talking about the 1,000 sheets from Scott. That roll of tissue could have probably been sold for $5 or $6, maybe a little more. People was buying up water. People was losing their mind. So what happened? The government decides they're going to hand this out, hand that out. They got on TV, they had the news people telling people, please, please, stop panicking. But you threw a panic out there. So that just shows you that when it was nothing on the tree, on the shelves left in the store, that the people really started to wither away. When they started asking questions, what happened? But like God said, if you believe, what his word say? He never seen the righteous beg for bread or forsaken. If you know the word, you can look at the word and sit back and look at yourself and say, see, that right there, I should apply that to my life. I went to that store looking for this, looking for that. Instead of sitting down praying and asking God, where should I go to the store? I'm going to give you something. And I want you to really listen to that, to this. Not only did I pray and ask God, where should I go, God made sure that at the time I needed to go, I didn't have to go to work the next day. So I went across state lines. I went across state lines, and I got a lot of the stuff I need. And the other stuff that I couldn't do, thank God for my sister, who's like me. Don't tell nobody, you ain't hear this from me. We hoarders. Yes, we are. Thank God I was able to go to her house and do a little shopping. So I said that to say, I pray to say, God, where can I go to get this? Where can I go to get that? And it was provided because I trusted the Lord. I didn't worry about what the stores didn't have here in Chicago or close across the Indiana line. I went the other way, up. Sometimes you got to go up. You go up in the spirit. You go up in prayer. You go up in praise. But when you go to God, you wait for God to tell you where to go to get what you need. He said he has not seen the right forsaken. Know that God is working. Know that God is sending help. Because to be perfectly honest, when you are in, when you got favored by God, God would have his people, one of his vessels or two, call you and say, you need to go to the store and buy this now. Buy that. Don't wait. Don't get a couple. Get this, get that. Because God has just, especially the prophet, the apostle, God has just told them to tell you and other loved ones what they're going to need before it happens. That's why it's good to have a relationship with God. So the Lord said the fig tree was sitting there, but it had nothing on it but leaves. So he cursed it because the leaves was growing, but the fruit wasn't coming forth. So don't be like the fig tree, have the outer appearance, but your fruit is, you're not bearing fruit. So I hope you try to get that, and I hope I tied that together where you can understand that when you have favor by God and you are talking with God, you have a relationship with God, God will make sure that he gives you instructions. The first part of this message started off with Jesus telling his disciples to go ahead to the city to follow his instruction. Now he's saying because the tree was not prepared. Y'all better hear me. Because the tree was not prepared to feed him when he was ready to eat, he said, from this day forth, you will never bear fruit again. Because, see, that tree was supposed to be there. It was supposed to, because back at the beginning, when Adam named every tree, every plant, every fruit, every animal, he said, let each bear seed after his own kind. Sheep bear sheep. Birds bear their kind of birds. Dogs bear their kind of dogs. They breed. Now, when they mix breed them, they bear dogs. Man and woman bear child, human beings. But when the tree did not bear fruit, God said there was no need. Jesus said there was no need for it to be here because it wasn't bringing forth fruit. Thank you, Mother Tony, for looking. Now, I told you that Jesus cursed the fig tree. I told you that Jesus came to Jerusalem as a king. I told you that Jesus went into the temple and he threw over the tables. He threw them out that was selling in there because that was supposed to be the house of prayer. But we know it sounded like it was a house of brothel. They were selling everything up in there. The tax collectors was getting money. Everybody was doing everything but praying in that house. Because if they were doing what God said for them to be doing, it wouldn't have said, it wouldn't have started off saying that Jesus entered the temple court and drove out all who were buying and selling. He turned over the tables of money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It said, it is written, he said to them, my house will be called the house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. So we all know where robbers lay, other stuff lay. Let's keep on moving. Now, we talked about Jesus cursed the fig tree because it did not provide what it needed to provide. It was supposed to provide food, fruit, but it didn't. So now we're going to talk about the authority of Jesus' question. So we're going to go back and read the last verse 22 of talking about the curse of the fig tree. If you believe, and you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. You know, so like you said, if you believe it and you will receive it, you can say to the mountain, mountain be thou removed. Mother Tony said the people of God were out of order. Yes, they were. They were out of order. The key part was she said the people of God, not saying they wasn't God's people, they were the people of God that was out of order because they did not recognize the promise also that was walking and living among them. They did not recognize what they had been teaching and talking about all through the scriptures, that the promise, the deliverer, was going to come. Jesus is going. They didn't believe it. Okay? So verse 23 through, I guess that's 27. Jesus entered the temple, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked, and who gave you this authority? I could just see Jesus now. I looked up. Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you what, by what authority I'm doing these things. Verse 25 says, John the Baptist, where did he come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? That was Jesus' question. He said, John the Baptist, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? Now, in case y'all missed it, I'm going to read it to you one more time. Jesus' question was John's baptism. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. John's baptism. Where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? So he's asking them, where did John's baptism come from? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they said that they don't want to know if they should say from heaven, because he's going to ask them, then why didn't you believe him? Because you know they didn't believe John. But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all held that John was a prophet. 27 said, so they answered Jesus, we don't know. You know how we do that. We don't know. You're going to try to like look like you're sophisticated, and you're going to try to look like you. We pondered on this a long time, and we decided that we don't know, we're not for sure. We don't know if it's from heaven or if men decided to baptize them. We don't know. So Jesus said, then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. Could you imagine you say something, just say your mama tell you, who broke that glass? You say, I don't know. Or, my mama used to always tell me, this is how I used to get in trouble. I'm just going to tell the truth tonight. Even though I was their best child, I'm just going to tell the truth tonight. Even though I was always in trouble. And I decided each time I was going to clear my name, I was going to call myself in my mind, throw the suspicion on somebody else. I was thinking, I fought. My mama said, who broke that glass? I'd be the first one to say, I don't know, it wasn't me. Then that's when my two sisters and brothers and everybody look at each other and be like, she's just give herself away every time. So my mom would always say, you did it. No, mama, I didn't do it. I did. Yes, you did. I learned in life, the first one to jump up and say, I don't know, it wasn't me. It was always the one that was the guilty one. Because you're quick to defend yourself. So with this being said, when they told Jesus, when he asked them, was he baptized, his baptism from heaven or from human origin. Instead of them saying from the beginning, we know we're going to leave this alone because he's doing what the Bible says he's doing. He's doing what the law says he will have authority to do. He's doing what God has given him power to do. They're going to be smart and try to justify themselves and look intelligent. I bet you they was holding on to their staff and holding the word up to them. We don't know. And he said, okay, you don't know. Then neither will I tell you about whose authority I'm doing these things. Because if they had knew the truth, they would have knew who authority he was operating under. In the beginning, when God created man, he said, let's create him in our image. Not yours. He said, our image. So, all I got to say is, when you're doing something, make sure you know whose authority you're operating under. And if you're going to operate under somebody's authority, and you go and ask somebody a question, and they ask you a question back, be prepared for the answer you may have to give or you may not give. But I want to read something real quick. It talks about the parables of the two sons. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, one son answered. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind. He repented and he went and did what he was asked to do. The father then went to the other son and said the same thing. This son answered, I will, sir. But he didn't. And he didn't go. Now, which of the two did what the father asked, what the father wanted? Which one? The first one who said, I won't do it, but he repented and went and did it. Or the second one that said, yes, sir, I will do it, but he didn't. Which one did it? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going to enter the kingdom of heaven ahead of you. That right there made me laugh. Because they said, the first, they answered. Which of the two did what the father wanted? The first, they answered. Mother Tony said the first. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. So, it said, for John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. Even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. See, that's why I was talking with Apostle Cecilia, and we was talking about it. And I was saying, though, tonight, the chief priests and the teachers that's been ministering, carrying out, holding up the law, teaching the law, teaching the word, supposed to be living by the word, they did not know who John's baptism came from. Yes, about Mrs. DeMargo, we will be surprised at who make it in. Because in God's word, he just told us. He said a parable of two sons. Now, even though the first son said, I won't do it, but he had enough sense to remember that Exodus 20 and 12 said, honor thy mother and thy father, and our days shall be long on this green earth that the Lord has given us. He honored his parents. He did that. Jesus uncovered their sins. That's right, Mother Tony. When the second son say, oh, yes, Dad, I'll do it. Yes, I'll do it, Father. You can trust me. You know that song they used to play on TV, say, you can depend on me. He, in other words, telling his dad, I got you. I got your back, Dad. But knew he wasn't going to do nothing. He was trying to give him an answer so he can get away from him so he could go kick it, party with his homies and his friends and go kick it with his girl. He was just trying to get away, get out, and get have an excuse. But for Jesus to say, let me read this, the 31st verse in the King James Version. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. No, that's the wrong one. I'm sorry, I was reading in 20. Let me read this over here, 31. Whether of them twine did he will of his father, they said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of heaven before you. Because it was like, they don't get it. You want to look important to people because you figure if you wear a collar or you walk around with a Bible in your hands or you walk around with scriptures flowing out of your mouth like a river, you have your dress below your knees, but everybody knows this other stuff could be going on under that dress. Your other stuff could be going under behind that Bible, you know. You may not be living God's whole word. You know, you want to do something like it. Like they said, a second son, he was doing something like it. He started off with the first part saying, yes, Dad, yes, Father. But he took the second part the other way out. The first son said, I won't do it, like very disrespectful. But he realized who he was talking to, his father. And his father was sending him about his business. And he went on and did what his father asked of him. So when they asked him, now these are two sons. It didn't say prophet. It didn't say priest. It didn't say Pharisees, Sadducees. It didn't, I hope I said it right. It didn't say the teachers. It said a parable of two sons. So when God said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors, King James Version say publicans. He said, and the prostitutes. Y'all know what we would have called them. King James say harlot. Y'all know what we call them. Let's be real. See, the thing is, a lot of times we have a conversation that we have in front of people when we're trying to tell them about getting saved and being saved. We don't want to use those words that we use when nobody's looking. But no matter what happens, God is always looking. So tonight I would say the first part, we went from chapter 21, verses 1 through 32. I want to say the first part talks about Jesus comes to Jerusalem as a king. When you are born in this world, you should be born in, if you are male, as a king, live as a king. If you are female, you should be coming to this world as a queen and live as a queen. Carry yourself as a queen. This next part was Jesus at the temple. When you realize the purpose and the reasons you're here to be about your father's business, everywhere you should go, when you realize that you're not carrying yourself as a temple, the temple of God, when you realize the things that you have allowed, the things you're doing, the things you did, that's breaking down the temple, you have to just say, God, take this temple of mine and develop it and use it for your glory, for your good, because it's never too late. Once you hand your temple over to God, it says under that part that the blind and lame came to him at the temple to be healed. Take your temple to the temple, which is Jesus Christ, and let him heal you. The next part we talked about was Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, yeah, Jesus cursed the fig tree. Don't be bearing the wrong fruit. Don't be fruitless. Don't be in a situation where people don't see the change in you, but they see the leaves. But they don't see what you about, what you're bearing. Like I told you tonight, I went out on a biker's event, and it was a ride, and I was enjoying myself tremendously. tremendously. I was having a lot of fun. When I was young, my mother once told my brother, he did something, and she said it to my father, it don't take all night to do nothing. So I'm saying it to say I was having a tremendous good time. But in my heart, it wasn't no loud voice, you got to go. It wasn't no banging on the door, you got to go. No, because I said yes to my Lord. And I said, God, don't let me ever forget. Because the summer is coming, I don't want to forget that I gave you my word. See, in the winter, it's kind of easy because it's cold outside. Nobody really wants to move around. Nobody wants to go out there in that cold. God, let me have the same hunger, thirst, and desire in the summer that I have for you in the winter. I don't want to be a seasonal saint. I don't mind being seasoned because of my hair color, but I don't want to be a seasonable winter, summer, spring, fall. I want to be a all-around 365 days leap year too saint. We need to discriminate the fruit of the spirit. That's right. That's right, Mother Tony. So when I was enjoying myself on tonight, I looked at my clock and it said, listen to this still small voice. That's it, Minister Margot. I heard his still small voice in my ear saying, look and see what time it is. So instead of me asking somebody else what time it is, I pulled my phone out and looked and saw the time. It said 7:45. I said, oh, 7:45. I started looking crazy. They was like, you okay? I was like, no, I'm not really. I said, I got to go. Are we going to do the balloon release in a few minutes? I said, it says 7 o'clock. It's 7:45, and they bring in balloons in one by one, two, threes at the time. I said, I got to go. I do a ministry every Friday night. I said, I got to go, y'all. Let me say my goodbyes. And I started praying while I was walking. I said, God, I got to get home. Don't let it be late. The devil said, oh, your sister said that she'll cover for you. Yes, she will. But she also said to me, give her ample amount of time. And see, that's one thing I had gave her, ample amount of time. And I didn't want to be one of those last minutes. Oh, I need to now. Because, see, I was having so much fun. No, because, see, when I call on God, I'll be looking for God to do for me what he said he would give me, the desires of my heart. I don't want God to tell me, in the back of the line, I'll get to you in a moment. I called your number before and you didn't answer. So I'll call it again in a little while. I didn't want that. So I said to my friends, I said, yeah, I got to go. I said, it's something I do every Friday at 9 p.m. It's something I do three times a week, every week. I got to go. You know, you all know I do this ministry. I got to go. They said, well, you're not going to make it on time. Oh, I'm going to make it on time. I started praying, and I said, God, protect me, cover me, open up so I can get home. So as I was coming around from where I was at, I'm going to just tell you, I was on California and Harrison. That's what, 2800 West? Yeah, 2800 West. That's like a, what could I say, 400 South, maybe 500 South. Now, I got from there. Say 9500 South. I got home at 8:30. I was on my motorcycle. I was playing my music and I was riding. I was like, God, you got me. You got me, Lord. You got me. Because, see, I didn't want my fig tree to just have leaves on it. I wanted to get home and bear my fruit because I said yes to my Lord. I'm only saying that because, see, we could take God's word and we could apply it to our life and we could laugh at ourselves. But one thing we must do is make sure we take God's words and apply it to our life. Don't just let a good night keep you from keeping your word. Now, I know sometimes things happen. Yes, it does. But don't let your fun get in the way of God. Don't let your fun keep you from doing what God has told you to do. Because when I read this scripture and I saw in the 31st verse that God said the taxpayer collectors and the prostitutes. In other words, the winehead and the, ooh, I almost said it. I don't want to offend nobody, so I'll say what the words say. And the harlots and the taxpayers, not taxpayers, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, or the publicans and the harlots, they will make it in before you do. And that's for you all that's walking around here with the best hooping and the best hollering, the nice suits and the nice shoes and the beautiful dresses and gowns and the good hairdo. Don't get me wrong. God bless you like that. Be blessed. But for those that's not doing the whole thing, those that just have the leaves on their fig tree, they don't know how to fruit, get right with God. Do what God said to do. And just allow God's word to be heard. Let people look at you because, see, the word says we are all members of Christ. We are one member. We're bodies, you know, members in one body, I should say. Don't get caught up on I'm a big eye, I'm a little you. No, we're all big eyes and all big yous in the body of Christ. All he said was, keep my word, keep my commandments. Keeping his commandments is keeping his will. Don't worry about what somebody's not doing or how they look or what they're still doing. If you have a problem with something that somebody's doing, help pray them through. I'm one of them. I need some help. Help pray me through. Help pray me delivered. Help pray me healed. Help pray me whole. Help pray me through. P-R-A-Y. Not P-L-A-Y. Not P-R-E-Y. But P-R-A-Y. We are all his children, as Minister Margo say. We have all fallen short. But know one thing. When you get about God's business, he knew who he called when he called you. He knew what he was doing when he called you. He knew how people would look at you and react when he called you. But what you do is be like the other part of the scripture say, if you believe in your heart that you could say to this mountain, be thou removed. If you believe in your heart what you're doing for God, that he would take people and change their hearts and minds and thoughts of you. Don't worry about what somebody else did. When they tell you, I remember when you did this, I remember you did that, you know what you tell them? I remember Jesus died on the cross for me. So all my sins are forgiven through in the sea of forgiveness. Because while you remembering that, remember God, that God said, let him without sin cast the first stone. So while you remembering my past, let's make sure God don't remember you and pass you up. Pray for me, you all. Pray for this ministry, Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron. I'm Minister Sylvia Kaiser. I thank you all for viewing me live. I thank you all that's going to look at this later. I thank you all for just trusting God, holding on to his unchanging hand. I thank God for this time that the city and the world is being opened up. But God, keep us covered. Keep us in tune with what's going on. I want you all not to get so caught up in the summer you forget about your promise to God. It's going to be more hot days. Just watch God. Blog Talk, is there anybody on the line at this time would like to say something? Please speak now. Facebook, I thank you all for being faithful. Okay.
Says just keep obeying. God, keep obeying. God, keep obeying. God again. That's all.
Thank you, Apostle Elect Cecilia. Is there anyone else on Blog Talk? Okay. Thank you, Mother Toni Montgomery. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you, Margo, for praying for me. And thank you all for being faithful. Our foundational scripture for Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron, is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So just praying for us. We're not perfect. We're not big names. But I thank God for having his big spirit. I thank God for having his own spirit. I thank God for having his love. I thank God for the chance to give him praise, to give him glory, to give him honor. I thank God. Please tune in this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with our very own apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Sheila Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser. That's on Sunday morning. They will be on Blog Talk. Please follow our postings. You will get the number, which is 310-861-2354. 310-861-2354. Please tune in on Monday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This Monday is the first Monday of the month of June, and our speaker will be Dr. Serena Wright. Thank you all for that. Please tune in next Friday. Will be the second Friday of the month. That will be Prophet Antoine Thomas. We love you all with the love of the Lord. There's nothing you can do about it. Thank you for taking time out on this Friday night with me. And keep me in your prayers. Amen. Good night, everyone. Good night, Blog Talk.